The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to Christmas week of the 9 till noon show. That sounded really good in my head till I tried to say it out loud. It's Monday's show. It's the first one of the week, which it is, of course, Christmas week. And there's going to be a nice, strong, happy Christmas feel throughout the course of this week. But of course, we'll keep you up to date with all the other stuff that's happening as well. So we want you to stick with us and be involved in the programme. Maybe you've got relations home or they're coming home. Or if you have any requests for people, please feel free to get them into us as well as all your comments to the usual numbers, 086 60 25,000. That's your WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000. Or give us a call on 07491 25,000. And if you're listening outside of the Republic, of course, it's 00353. You drop the first O and then away you go with the number that you're probably very familiar with. And you can email comments at highlandradio.com. Now, we bring you effectively what is a TV show here as well, for those of you who wish to watch, and hundreds of you do every single day. But this week's going to be particularly visual, I think. So if you happen to be at home and you've got a smart TV or a Fire Stick or a Chromecast with Google TV, well, then feel free to open up the YouTube app, type in Highland Radio Ireland, and you can watch us live. You'll see the circle of Highland and it says live. We're also available across all your mobile devices, your laptops and all that, tablets, etc., via YouTube, but also on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. And there's even a watch live link on our website. But anyway, this is primarily a radio show, and we've got loads of radio entertainment to keep you going throughout the course of today and throughout the course of the week. As we heard from Lee just before the news, but in case you've only just switched on, Lee and the team are going to be at a school a little later on, chatting to the children. We might get some performances from them. I hope we do. We're also going to be broadcasting live from a nursing home a little later on. I'll give you all the actual details of this as the morning wears on. That and so much more besides, that loads of people to chat to and all that kind of stuff. But firstly, we'll go through what's making the front of the newspapers today, and it is a mixed bag. Let's start locally with the Derry People Donegal News and the findings of a report into the crisis at Letterkenny University Hospital's emergency departments, expected to be delivered early in the new year. The HSE's Performance Management and Improvement Unit began its investigation at the hospital's ED on November 3rd. In an interview with the Donegal News on Friday, Sialta CEO Tony Canavan promised action will be taken to address problems. I would expect that most of their work would finish with us this evening. We'll receive feedback from them before they leave. The recommendations and so on will probably be put into a report for issue to us early in the new year. The Derry News this morning, and an investigation into his participation in an alleged unnotified parade involving the Bloody Sunday families as a total and utter farce. Police are investigating a complaint in relation to an event on August 25th, which saw members of the Bloody Sunday families walking together to Bishop Street Courthouse for a hearing in relation to the prosecution of Soldier F. On to the Nationals now, and as you can imagine, an awful lot of coverage of the alleged or suspected arson attack of accommodation which had been earmarked for international protection candidates. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has condemned the suspected deliberate setting of a fire on Saturday at a County Galway hotel which was being prepared to accommodate up to 70 asylum seekers. Mr. Varadkar also strongly defended the government's policies on refugees and asylum seekers. He said while there had been a step change in the numbers coming into Ireland, creating substantial pressures on accommodation, government policies were robust and the response of many communities had been incredible. The Taoiseach said he was deeply concerned at the incident at the Ross Lake House Hotel near Auchterard late on Saturday evening. It follows a number of arson attacks since 2018 on properties intended to provide accommodation, not least here, of course, in County Donegal. They cite an event in Moville some time ago, but there was a more recent fire in Boncrana. On to the Irish Independent. Now, this could be some good news if you're out shopping or if you haven't done your big Christmas shop yet. A supermarket food price war looks set to benefit struggling families making Christmas dinner in the shadow of the cost of living crises. Prices on seasonal dinner ingredients such as turkey, ham and a range of vegetables are being cut by many of the larger supermarket chains, keen to entice people in their doors in the final run-up to Christmas. Many are matching each other's prices. Dunnes Stores, Aldi, Supervalue and Tesco have advertised seasonal vegetables such as sprouts, carrots, onions and parsnips at 49 cent for a bag, with Aldi saying it represents a saving of up to 79 cents. And I wonder, are they going to absorb that big cut, or is it going to be the producers? Maybe the Minister for not the Minister for Agriculture, but the Department of Agriculture's new watchdog might be able to tell us that in a few years. Prices for turkey and ham are also being advertised as reduced, with Dunnes Stores offering what it says is a 20% discount on 4 kilogram Irish ham, reduced from 25 to 20. Good value. Aldi's offering fresh turkey from €9 each and are dropping the price of smoked salmon from €8 to €5. From Wednesday, Lidl is selling 3 kilogram fresh turkeys for €9. And an 8 kilogram bird will cost 35. All right, that makes sense. Tesco says its Christmas dinner offer means a family or group of five can now have Christmas dinner with all the trimmings for €26.07. So there are big savings to be made there. I wonder, do the majority of people still get a turkey? Or do you go for a crown? Maybe you don't have turkey at all. I see there in the butchers where you just get the white breast. It's not a crown, it's just literally the turkey breast, which looks very attractive. It's not really, you know, you kind of want to go the whole hog, don't you? But or maybe you don't, but it looks really, really handy, and everyone gets turkey breast. But anyway, whatever you're doing, I hope it's nice. On to the Mail now. And Education Minister Norma Foley has called on parents who do not plan to use school bus tickets to return them to the department to be reissued to others. This was a problem last year. I'm surprised it took this long for it to raise its head. The minister said the department has no way to identify parents who are not using the tickets. So people are applying for them but not using them, because they apply for them just to have them, but then maybe it's handy for one of the parents or whomever to drop the kids or pick them up. So there are empty spaces on buses, but the Department of Education hasn't figured out a system yet to determine whether or not it's a child in the seat or not. Her request comes as coalition unease gathers among backbench TDs from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, with one Fianna Fáil TD warning the school bus ticket rush every autumn is now the autumn passport crisis. It's a prime constituency problem. There is no logic and no coherence. The minister made her plea in response to the request by ANTHU leader Pádraig Tobin for an analysis of who's using them. And as I say, it's a familiar story from last year. It's not something we've heard too much about. Now, we would very rarely, regularly, I beg your pardon, cover the school bus seat topic. But we haven't heard much from bus operators who have plenty of empty seats, nor have we heard too much from people who haven't been able to get a seat. So I'm not saying that's not a problem. There isn't a problem out there. It's just that we haven't heard about it as much as we might in the past. The Mirror now tells us that Ireland ranks in the top 10 of dozens of developed countries when it comes to patient safety. This is in hospitals. Research at the Institute of Global Health Innovation at Imperial College London examined data on 39 developed countries to compile a patient safety country ranking. Ireland was rated well ahead of powerful nations like the UK, France and the US when they were measured on 4 key patient safety indicators: maternal mortality, treatment mortality, adverse effects of medical treatment and neonatal disorder. Ireland finished in the 7th place of the league table, just below Switzerland and above the Netherlands and Spain. Norway topped the rankings with Finland and South Korea in 2nd and 3rd place. So whilst there are clearly very serious issues that are highlighted, that report seems to suggest that overall we aren't as bad off as other places. The Irish Daily Mirror this morning: the British and German Foreign Affairs Ministers yesterday demanded a sustainable ceasefire in the Gaza War. The British government added to growing global pressure on Israel, as former Prime Minister David Cameron warned too many civilians have been killed, another 90 killed overnight in a refugee camp, if you don't mind. The intervention came as UN aid lorries were permitted to enter Gaza directly from Israel for the first time in the 11-week conflict, which was triggered by Hamas terrorists massacring 1,200 Israelis and taking another 240 hostage. But did you see the awful fate of the three hostages that had white flags, effectively, makeshift white flags on poles, and were gunned down by the Israeli army over the weekend? And finally in The Sun this morning, new laws designed to save lives from being wrecked by gambling will destroy Irish horse racing, it's claimed. A new bill from Junior Minister James Brown aims to crack down on problem gambling, but critics claim it will unintentionally kill off one of the jewels in Irish sport. Legendary jockey Ruby Walsh, now a TV racing pundit, fears the scrap heap looms for many of the 30,000 people working in the €2 billion euro industry. And he asks, I've a leaving cert, where do I go after that when I'm not talking about horse racing? Tomorrow, Fianna Fáil Minister Brown will explain why he believes his gambling regulation bill will save thousands of people from the torture of addiction. But many fear that without tweaks to the legislation, the consequences beyond gambling will be disastrous. And you have to read on, and this is sometimes the problem with articles, to actually find out what they mean. You have to go deep into that article, and I wonder how many people have the patience for that now. But anyway, maybe we might get a chance to speak to the minister ourselves and tease that out with him. 086 60 25 000, that's our WhatsApp and text number. Keep us busy on that if you like. You can also call us on 07491 25 000. Right, we tried to speak to Eamon on Friday, but it wasn't working out for us. Let's see if we can hear him this morning. Good morning, Eamon.
Yes, Greg, how's the form?
After all that effort, after all that effort, I'd say the car's back in a mess again after the weekend. But anyway, how are you keeping?
Not too bad on yourself.
I'm all right. So we were talking, or we were going to talk about the bus service from Buncrana. So what's the issue?
The issue with me is that, okay, if you go back years ago, there was the service provided came from exactly the same place. It came from, say, Malin Head, right up into Mr. Chippy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then it went on and up to the hospital. Now, that's a very steep, as anybody knows, that's a very steep prey. It would task the best of us, so mm-hmm. It was. But now it just stopped at Mr. Chippy.
Right.
And I think that's a wee bit mean, because when they took it over, they didn't enhance the service, they actually reduced it. And that last wee bit means an awful lot to people.
I think the natural sort of, at least one of the destinations, if not the finishing destination, would be the hospital, you would think, wouldn't you?
Well, this is what I was going to say to you. You know, they should have a bona fide stop at the hospital, because there has to be like a social dimension, a social responsibility on our bus services. I'll give you an example. We've been to Manchester many times, and I saw on at least two occasions, it was around Portland Street, and there was this guy in a high-vis vest, obviously some official or other, and he was banging on the door of this, because they had a whole lot of carriers that are using the same stops, and he was banging on the door, get out of it, get out of it. Mm. No, and I said to myself, God, you don't want that. You don't want that, you know, creeping into our country. And we don't have it. But this cutting the service isn't great, because you have people with mobility or respiratory problems, and families and prams and different things like that. And to try and negotiate that bray is horrendous. So it is.
Yeah.
So why not make the hospital a bona fide stop? And it would be great for everybody. Like, I mean, if you're travelling from Malin Head, first of all, you have to make your way to Malin Town, right? Then you have to have the bus up. Then you have to negotiate that bray, which is fairly, 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 it's not good at all now.
No, it's steep, if you're not used to it. And the thing is as well, too, you know, obviously it's bad enough that the hospital is so far away from parts of Inishowen. Now, we recognise we can't have a hospital in every village, don't get me wrong,
but of course not. It
would make sense for this type of service. I think it's a Transport for Ireland service people might be even more likely to use it if it finishes the most difficult part of that journey, which is obviously up that very steep bray past the fire station, if people aren't familiar with it, from Oakfield up to the hospital. I mean, I wouldn't fancy taking that on for leisure, let alone to make a hospital appointment.
No, definitely not. And like, even if the people that are on the bus that are heading up to the hospital, like, they've already paid or whatever their fee. But if they announced that they would have a, say, maybe a token, say, €2 fee for people who want to get onto Mr. Chippy's, and head up to the hospital. And, you know, that would provide an extra service.
The, I mean, we're talking about the difficulty of going up it, you know, and if you were able to, not fancying it. But the reality is as well, too, there's a lot of people simply actually couldn't make it up that hill.
No, they wouldn't. If you had mobility or respiratory problems, you wouldn't make, or if you had pushing a pram with CHI or so again, that would be fairly difficult.
Yeah.
Because once you get up as far as the fire station, you still have that wee bit to go. And as I say, before that, they went on up and they went out to that roundabout and people got off the bus and went over to the hospital. It was fairly easy.
Right. I presume we've been in contact, hopefully we've been in contact with TFI, because it's I think it's a simple question and I'd be really interested into an explanation as to why. Now, there is a taxi rank there as well. So, listen, we're not trying to put anyone out of business either. So I presume they take a lot of people up that hill. But that being said, you know, that's not for everyone and not everyone has the resources. It would make more sense if this service reached its natural conclusion, which for me is the hospital, or maybe, you know, somewhere deeper into town. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. We have family living on the Belt Road there in Derry, in the Waterside. Mm. And that's just directly opposite Alton Galvin. And the bus service, I think it's 5B and maybe 5A. When they're going up to there, they go into the hospital and back out again. That's very simple. Very simple.
Yeah, well, that's what we want down here, isn't it? You know, you're saying for the sake of 3 minutes, you know.
And I'll tell you, it ingratiate themselves into the community because the bus service here has a social, a community aspect to it, and it's as it should.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, listen, as I say, Eamon, you've come across today at least loud and clear, and we'll get on to TFI and see if they can give us any more information or an explanation.
If you could.
Of course not. Yeah, we'll do that. That's what we do.
That would be great. That would be great.
All right. Thanks, Eamon.
Thank you very much.
Have a lovely Christmas. Take care of yourself.
And you too. Bye.
Bye-bye, Eamon. Okay. If you agree, I'm sure most of you agree. I can't imagine many might disagree. Let us know. 086 60 25,000. A caller says, I have a query. If you could put to your listeners or Donegal County Council, I believe the above lights have been broken for some time and recently fixed and working again. This was on the 15th. So again yesterday, the 14th of December. Just asking, as I received a speed fine for travelling 75 kilometres at a special speed zone of 60 kilometres at the above location. Now, I can't figure out from this where... Oh, yes, it's at Mahara Beg in Manor Cunningham. Just asking, as I received a speed fine for travelling 70 kilometres per hour at a special zone of 60 kilometres an hour at Mahara Beg Manor Cunningham, 8:36, the 7th of December, while taking my mother to LUH for chemo. I don't believe the lights notifying the 60 kilometre speed limit were on that day. My daughter, who travels daily to Letterkenny for work, feels yesterday was the first time they've been on in ages. So they were working from the 14th of December on, but this listener was taking her mother to hospital for treatment on the 7th of December at 8:36, and she believes that lights weren't on, advising of the reduced speed limit of 60 kilometres per hour, but has now received a speeding ticket because she was doing 75. Now, you would only really, I think, be expected, because we don't know when schools are off and on or what have you, you'd only be expected, I would imagine, to conform to the 60 kilometres per hour when those lights are on. This lady is this person is of the view that they weren't on at Mahara Beg Manor Cunningham. And maybe you out there are familiar with this area. Maybe you pass there regularly. 8:36 on the 7th of December, were the lights indicating a special speed zone of 60 kilometres on at Mahara Beg Manor Cunningham? I think it's an interesting question. And I think sometimes, you know, we need to challenge these things if we've been done wrong. Hi, Greg. I've been working in the same retail store for the past 18 years and have never seen anything like the shoplifting in the last year, or so they don't care, or even they're caught, they'll probably get off. Now, this is off the back of a national. We were chatting to an organisation that represents retailers right across the country, and they were talking about feral teens and teens being like cockroaches in thieving in shops. And I asked, is this something that we see in our part of the world? And this listener says yes, and they've been working in retail for a long time and have seen nothing like it before. Good morning, Greg. The COP28 has come to a decision to phase out fossil fuels. Well, I don't think fossil fuels are the problem. I think they take all the planes out of the sky. That'll cure everything. Well, it would certainly do something, but I believe, and I'll check the stat, I believe it's like 2% of all damage done to the environment is by planes. Hi, Greg. Can I ask what is the law on returning items to a store? I bought a clothing item and returned it after 2 days, only to be told I can't get my money back, only a credit note. Thank you. Love your show. Well, thank you for your lovely comments. Sorry you're in that situation. It is in the run-up to Christmas. Lots of gifts will be exchanged. I see some really good shops actually advise you at the till saying that because of the Christmas period, you can exchange this towards the end of January, which I think is really good business. But we'll get to, I think we have a consumer expert on this week, don't we? Yes, we do indeed. So we'll answer those questions and any of your other consumer questions as it relates to returns or your rights in shops, retail, etc. We'll be having an expert on in the next wee while to discuss that. Right, let's take a quick break. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Just to remind you, coming up a little bit later on in the show, by the way, we're going to be broadcasting live from a school across the Northwest here. We have Lee Gooch and the team out. We're going to be joining them. We're also going to be broadcasting live, or hooking in, I should say, really, hooking into a nursing home. I'm going to give more details about that in a moment as well. Sinead and Tommy, what a pairing. Brilliant. I can't wait to chat to them. That's all coming up a little bit later on. And then later in the week too, we've got an exciting outside broadcast with some amazing guests. And also on Friday, well, there's an awful lot to get through. We've got a car giveaway. We've got money to give away. It's going to be so exciting. All right, okay. Let's go to our next guest on the program. Carol, good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay. Carol, how are you, more importantly? Maybe a little better than you were a couple of days ago. So you had really quite a horrific experience, Carol. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was quite scary. Now, to be honest, when my car was basically ambushed in Letterkenny last week. So, yeah, it was pretty terrifying.
Right, so where were you? What time of the day was it? And kind of what happened, if you don't mind, Carol?
It was the evening time, driving over Old Town in Letterkenny, a road I know well and I've travelled, you know, daily. And two men just came at my car just at random, out of nowhere, and tried to gain entry.
And did they try and stop the car first, Carol, or how did they go about it? Do you think they were planning this?
Yeah, so I think so. To be honest, I don't really know. Like, it did happen so fast. Something was either thrown out in front of me, or I thought it was actually a cat that had ran out in front of me. So I slowed down, and then there was a man on the sidewalk. He came towards the car. And then somebody came out from behind a wall and actually stopped my car. So it was, you know, I was like, I need to get out of this situation. So I kept moving forward and I managed to get away.
Wow. And did they go for the doors, or how did they try and get into
the
car?
They did. There was one person he tried to gain entry to the back of the car.
Oh, no.
And it all happened within, you know, a few seconds.
Yeah.
So I was very lucky. Like, my car doors were locked, so they couldn't actually get in. So I was fortunate there.
And you kind of can't allow yourself to imagine what was the motivation.
Yeah.
What if they had got into the car? You know what I mean? It could be anything.
Exactly.
But
you
sure
try not to.
Yeah,
but
of course. Yeah, it's
yeah,
scary.
Your mind does go down that route, to be honest, you know.
Mm.
I did call the Gardaí at the time, mainly because, you know, I didn't want that to happen to anybody else, maybe coming behind me. But unfortunately, you know, there was no guards available at the time,
this is quite an important part of this, because there's a number of potential crimes here. They stopped your vehicle intentionally. They tried to gain entry to your vehicle for what we don't know. Is it car theft? Is it to harm you? Is it to rob what you have? We don't know. So there's potentially a number of really quite serious crimes. And when you called them, it means that potentially these people were still in that area. So,
yeah, I believe so. You know, they were on foot. So it's a busy area also. You know, it was over a back road or anything like that. Like, that would be a busy area. Mm. So you would imagine that, you know, we're so close to the town too, that there'd be somebody available.
And do you know how long it took before you were able to speak to a guard?
Sorry, the line just dropped there.
No problem. How long did it take for a guard to get back to you?
I was waiting for roughly 2 hours, I would say, and then we called the Garda station back because I just wanted to get home at that stage. And they said that I would still have to report it. So if I could go back to the Garda station the following day, my nearest Garda station, then I was told when I received a call, well, is Ballyshannon, which is 50 minutes away from where I live, which is shocking in itself, you know, that that's the nearest place I could find a guard.
Jeez, it really is, indeed.
You know, I know there's a lack of Garda at the minute, you know, but it's quite scary to think that that's how far for when you would have to travel.
Mm. What does this mean to you now, though, as a, you know, I mean, this changes how you feel about your personal security driving around now, even sort of, you know, the security of being in a relatively built-up area in a locked vehicle, it's bound to have unnerved you, Carol. I don't think I'm exaggerating it, because if anyone was in this situation, I don't care what gender they are, it would make you think twice going forward. It would be a shocker, I think, for anyone.
Yeah. It really, like, I was very shook, you know, the days after, to be honest. You know, it did. It took a lot out of me now, to be honest. But I'm okay now. Like, I would have, you know, a lot of kind of probably wit about me. You know, I think just as a woman, we, a lot of us would be like that. You know, you just know, you know your surroundings and stuff. But yeah, it's just the lack of a guard being available that has really heightened that to me, that, okay, I just need to be that wee bit more. You know, and I might, the neck, if anything was to happen again, you know, I might be lucky, you know, that kind of way. They might, you just don't know.
I think a lot of this, though, Dan, is to your personal security and awareness, you know, having the car locked, being able to sort of, you know, not be intimidated into stopping. You know, I think it's as much your savvy and your switched onness, if that is even a way of describing it, rather than look, if you know what I mean. So fair play to you. And it's an interesting comment you make, that as a woman, you kind of have to, do you feel more so than you might have in the past, feel you have to have your wits around you?
Yeah. It's quite sad, you know, but that's the way it is, you know, and a lot of even friends and family that I've spoken to since, everybody's the same, you know, even before this incident, you know, you just have to have your wits about you. So, yeah, just everything's heightened now at the minute. Okay.
Right. I just want to timeline this Garda response once again, because I know that's one of the main reasons why you're happy enough to speak publicly. So as this incident happened, you left and got to a position where you were safe enough, and you rang. Did you ring the station directly, or did you go through the...
I did. Okay. I rang the station directly.
You rang Letterkenny.
I'm living in Letterkenny.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just have that number in my phone.
Yep. Well, there's another thing a lot of people don't have. Well, fair play to you. So a lot of that. So then you said, look, I was driving in Old Town. Two people attempted to stop my vehicle and gain entry. They may well still be on the scene. In that conversation, what were you told? We've no one available, or we'll send someone out, or what were you told then?
They had to dispatch a car, so they connected me through to a different line. And then they said that they would send somebody out. So I was waiting, and I was lucky. My sister-in-law lives nearby.
Okay.
So she came down, and she did. She rang Letterkenny Garda station back, but she was just told that there was no car, or the car wasn't available at that time. So I did wait probably maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
And they did contact me in the days following. I think I had four guards contact me. And I did report it in the Garda station locally to myself. Mm-hmm. Well, semi-locally, I suppose. But, like, I was met with, you know, actually the response I got was, but did they gain entry to your car? Which in itself is just a lack of empathy. I think they're just, you know, they're so desensitized to these situations because it happens all the time. But to somebody that's,
like, it's easy for me to say, but from an investigative perspective, if there are two men who are going around and throwing things out of people's cars to try and slow them down and then try and gain access to it. Whether they gained access or not, it's not the issue for me here, though that would have been much worse. It's like they might do this to someone else. Why would they stop once?
And that's the fear. You know, I'm young. Like, you know, I could, if I got pulled out of a car, you know, I would like to think that I could run. But if that happened to, say, an elderly person or something, you know, you just don't know. And that is my fear, you know, that it could happen to somebody else.
Right. Okay. Well, fair play to you. As I say, maybe it's hopefully the initial anxiety and worry of the situation is easing a little bit for you. But we appreciate you coming on, helping us to share that story and keep the doors locked in your car. As I say, man, woman, whatever it is, keep the doors locked. And I suppose you have to keep moving too, because it was clear that they were trying to stop you for a reason, and you didn't freeze. You kept your wits about you, which is very impressive, and I appreciate you coming on and helping us spread the word. I really do.
No problem. Thank you so much, Greg.
All right,
Thank you.
Care of yourself. Thanks very much indeed. Be safe. 086 60 25,000. Have you had a similar situation to that occur? Let us know. Now, we're joined on the programme by Karen Seagrave and Parg Gallen. Both of you, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for calling in.
It's a pleasure.
Karen, we spoke to you not so long ago. Unfortunately, on the 3rd of December, you and your partner Ray's home was destroyed by a fire on the Long Lane. And very bravely, you wanted to speak very soon thereafter. And I think primarily it was to sort of thank the fire service, wasn't it, and the local community for their response.
And to draw attention to the difficulties that the firemen endured on the night
in accessing the main supply to fight the fire. How are you feeling now? It's been a few weeks now, but I'm sure it still feels very, very raw.
It's very raw. Two weeks yesterday. It's very, very raw. Now we're very humbled and the response we're getting from people, you know, in the kind bushes and all, from people, you know, we're humbled.
Yeah. And it was a whole mixed bag of emotions, wasn't it? I mean, obviously the devastation of losing your home, but then the what ifs, you know, and then managing to get some important things out whilst losing some other things. But it was a whole roller coaster for you in the immediate aftermath of that blaze.
It was, just the first week. Now, we didn't know if we were coming or going. We did manage to salvage a few little bits and pieces, not a lot. If they weren't damaged by fire or smoke, they were damaged by water. The house is just a shambles. It's actually not safe to go in round, for there's still ceilings falling down and tiles falling down. But the rooms are unrecognisable.
And clearly you face a Christmas out of the property in an uncertain 2024 as well.
Yeah, well, we don't know what's happening yet. We're just living from day to day now at the minute.
Because we're at that point now where the wheels start moving really quite slowly and you don't get information, and it's, you know, insurance and what will the insurance cover, and how do you get someone to even begin to start the process of clearing the site? And that's the body of work that's ahead. I'm not trying to make it sound more dramatic than this. It's incredibly stressful and traumatic.
Yeah, well, I haven't even thought that far ahead.
I didn't want to bring you into that, but, you know, I know. Okay. It's really more in the context of my next sort of engagement with Porrig Gallen here, who's part of a fundraising committee. And it's obvious to Karen and Ray, are very, very well liked in the local community. And this has shocked everyone around them, Porrig.
Thanks, Greg. We in the community in the Glencairn surrounding Meadowbank and that whole area, I suppose the focal point would be the Glencairn shopping centre and pub where people would come and go and meet. And on the Saturday before the fire, Ray himself actually took part in a head shave. We were going to get you, Greg, but it wasn't a good idea.
No, unfortunately, I did mine about 20 years ago, so it was two decades too late. But anyway, we got Ray.
we got Ray. And then it's hard to believe then that the following day, Ray's own house, the charities were two local charities, and there was about 15 of us got the shave done and moustaches and different stuff. And we had a super nice fun, and we raised best part over 6,500 for two local charities.
Yeah.
Those checks were distributed during the week, and then On the Sunday, then we heard the tragic news about Ray and Karen's house. And it's hard to believe that on a Saturday, he's helping the entire community. And on Monday, he's out of a home along with his wife, Karen. And it's just scandalous. But it's just tough, you know. So then on the Monday, I was getting phone calls from good mates of Ray and Karen. And they were saying, we have to do something. And I said, you know, be cool, man. I said, just be careful because, you know, this is very raw. So then we eventually tied Karen and Ray down for a private meeting between ourselves and the committee. And we asked them for their permission. And they were very, very, very reluctant to give us any permission to use their names for this GoFundMe page. But when the dust settled a wee bit and they realised that they were in a situation that they couldn't see out of, we were on the outside looking in, knowing what you've just said, Greg, a minute ago, about what 2024 is going to hold. So once we got the green light, then myself and the committee got together. We had a computer guy, different people doing different things. And we're keeping the contact open to one line only to Ray and Karen so that the committee's not phoning them on a regular basis. We tell one man to keep Dennis, actually. We tell Dennis to contact Ray and Karen when there's anything going rather than five of us making five different approaches. Mm. So we have it down now it's going okay and we're not torturing Ray and Karen. And the fund page was set up last Thursday. I checked this morning before I came out and it's sitting in and around 4,500, and which is incredible for this time of year especially. And all we want people to do is that there is a GoFundMe page set up. The fund is set up strictly under Karen's instruction for the restoration of the house and nothing else. And we're going to honour herself and Ray's words on that. And that's what we intend doing, Greg.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is the house. But if you can imagine for a moment where all of your stuff is, everything, your hats, your scarves, your jackets, your skirts, your jeans, your shoes, where are they all? Your microwave, your white goods, your bathroom, your beds, your linen, where are they? They're all within these four walls and with the roof on top of it.
Yeah.
So, Karen, and I know this is really tough on you, but I hope you can take the positivity of your community rallying around you. But I'm trying to emphasise this, that everything goes. You know, it's not like then, of course, you can just go into another house and everything is there. You've lost everything.
Yeah, we have now, in all fairness. I don't have the words to say about the GoFundMe. I mean, I feel really awful.
Why?
I was rare that you work for what you have.
Well, you have worked for what you had, but we were all rare too, and your community was rare, and Parag was rare, and clearly Ray and you were rare, that when other people need a little lift, you put your hand out and you give them a lift.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's, don't feel like that. Please at least enjoy the beauty of your community thinking so much of yours.
Oh, I appreciate from the bottom of my heart. I'm not meaning to sound ungrateful.
No, I know
at all.
You don't. I know, but I know where you're coming from. It's uncomfortable.
Everybody has their own bothers. I mean, you walk down the street and, you know, you meet people and everyone has their own woes, their own stories to tell. And, you know, I know in the long run, me and Ray will be okay. You know, we're lucky. We have good friends. We've good family around us. You know, we are so lucky. And as I said, it takes a time where you lose everything to be humbled.
Yeah.
And to see the amount of people that cares is so unreal. Mm. And you know, and I just feel so bad because the amount of Christmas people have, you know, their Christmas presents, sorting out their kids, and for them to take time and donate to a GoFundMe that, as I said, it was rare that, you know, you work for what to get, you don't, you know.
Yeah, no, but you give an awful lot to Park, and I understand where Karen's coming from, and I can't make Karen feel any different than she does. I'm just trying to reassure her that this is what people want to do, and you're not taking the food out of anyone else's mouths. There are lots of people out there that have a little bit extra once they've got all their bits sorted, and that's all you're asking for, Park. If people have a little bit extra,
that's all.
And just, you know, a lot of people donating a lot can make a lot of difference. And it's clear, Karen, you're a lovely person, you know, and I'm sure Ray is too, with his fundraising and other stuff he does in the community well. So it's about, it's wanting to help Porg and help Karen and Ray, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a matter of giving giving a little. If everybody gives a little, it becomes a lot eventually. And there's going to take a lot of money to buy sheets, to buy a new bed, as you said, white goods. You know, and we don't even know where to start with this, because the house is still under investigation. We don't know what the insurance people will do. We don't know, for example, in January, we need accommodation, because the temporary accommodation that's there at the moment is, by its nature, temporary. So in the new year, we're going to have to get some temporary accommodation. That has to be resolved in some way. We don't know where we're going to get it, but we'll get it, because that's what the people in the locality do. For example, whenever we had our meeting, first meeting last the Friday after the fire, we were just breaking up, and I happened to say to Karen, "Is there anything really you would really want that's worrying you at the moment?" And she says, "Yeah, the back of the house is all exposed, and anything that's in there that could be good may be stolen." The next morning, a team of construction workers went in and shored the whole place up. It took 3 minutes. The bar manager, Dara, phoned Dorian's.
Bar manager where?
The Glencairn.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, sorry.
We give him a mention.
Yeah, and then he phoned, he contacted Dorian's, and Dorian came back immediately saying, "We'll have a team of boys up there tomorrow morning." And it was sorted, and you know what I mean? And that's community at its best.
Amazing. It's just absolutely wonderful.
You know,
yeah.
I just wanted to add to that, you know, the unsafety of the house as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's still, you know, things falling. You know, the women next door says in the middle of the night, they heard a crash in the middle of the night. So it's not safe. So I wanted to barricade it up for that as well. You know,
of course.
You know, that people's not going in and getting hurt, because that's the last thing I want on my conscience now at this stage.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't be there anyway.
No, I know, but people are curious and mischievous and adventurous and whatever way you want to describe it. Porg, we'll share, of course, the link via our social media here. The way GoFundMe does, though, it's like GoFundMe/\/F. You know, so where's the best place outside of our social media for people to get a hold of this link so they can contribute whatever they can afford? No one's looking for them to contribute anything they can't afford.
Yeah, there is. You're speaking to the wrong guy when it comes to computers, Greg, but there is a QR
code no problem.
As well, and we'll get that to you if you want to put it up. You know, it was... Ray Flanagan sorted that for me over the weekend, because again, when it comes to computers, you're looking at the wrong boy, you know. I'm just here on behalf of the committee, and I just want to drive the whole thing forward, to keep it nice and lukewarm, nice and steady, nothing fancy, nothing good, or nothing sort of huge amounts, just enough to tick over. And we'll be doing all the things in the turn of the year, because possibly rolling into February, there's a few boys who are talking about doing golf stuff and all the rest. But that's a conversation for another day. We'll try and get things up and running just at the moment on the GoFundMe.
Okay.
And I'd like to take the opportunity as well, Greg, for you and your team here, for welcoming us here to spread the word among families, friends, on the social media. And if anybody has a property that they're looking to rent out in the new year, they can contact us, or go through Dara, the manager in the Glencairn, and give us information, because the accommodation is temporary at the moment for Karen and Ray, and we'll be looking for something in the new year. You know?
Karen, listen, thank you for calling up. I know it's not very difficult for you as well, but as I say, this is what the community want to do for you.
Can I just add one thing to the GoFundMe? When Porrick approached the state and all, the only way I agreed with it is we just want what we need. Anything over and above that's in the GoFundMe pages, you know, I want to put it to a charity,
So. And that's been agreed.
And indeed, of course. Yeah. And everyone will know about that when that time is right, too. So don't you worry about that, Karen. Porrick Gallen, part of the fundraising committee, fair play to you, as always, Porrick. You're never shy when it comes to helping out. And Karen, best wishes to you, and best wishes to Ray as well. Hopefully you have as best a Christmas as possible, given everything, but hopefully you can feel the warm embrace of your community, and that will help you through it all. Okay.